प्रसाद की जाए। हरे कृष्णा। So I'm very honored to be here. It's been 15 years since I visited last. I'm also praying for the blessings of the devotees. I can speak something that will be valuable and helpful. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, this is Canto 9, chapter number 11, and verses. Actually, we're going from verses 7 all the way through to 15. Is there a, do we have a board somewhere? Oh, okay. Yeah. So number 7's on the board. So this chapter is entitled, Lord Ramchandra Rules the World. Namo, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Ramaya Kuntamedase. Uttamasloke Duryaya. Nasta Dandar Pitangraye. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Ramaya Kunta Medase. Uttamasloke Duryaya. Nasta Dandar Pitangriye. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Ramaya Kunta Medase. Uttama Sloka Duryaya. Nasta Dandar Pitangraye. Ladies.
Thank you.
Nama, we offer our respectful obeisances. Brahmaya Devaya, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who accepts the Brahmanas as his worshipful deity. Ramaya, unto Lord Ramachandra, Akunta Medase, whose memory and knowledge are never disturbed by anxiety. Uttama Sloka Duryaya, the best of very famous persons. Nasta Danda Arpita Angriye, whose lotus feet are worshipped by sages beyond the jurisdiction of punishment. Translation. O Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have accepted the Brahmanas as your worshipful deity. Your knowledge and memory are never disturbed by anxiety. You are the chief of all famous persons within this world, and your lotus feet are worshipped by sages or beyond the jurisdictions of punishment. O Lord Ramachandra, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto you. So it goes on for a few more verses till verse 15, and then there's a very, very small purport. So I'll just read the translations. Sukadev Goswami continued, once while Lord Ramachandra was walking at night incognito, hiding himself by a disguise to find out the people's opinion of himself, he heard a man speaking unfavorably about his wife Sita Devi. Speaking to his unchaste wife, the man said, you go to another man's house, and therefore you are unchaste and polluted. I shall not maintain you anymore. A henpecked husband like Lord Ramachandra may accept a wife like Sita, who went to another man's house, but I am not henpecked like him. Therefore, I shall not accept you again. Sutta Goswami said, men with poor fund of knowledge and heinous character speak nonsensically. Fearing such rascals, Lord Ramachandra abandoned his wife, Sita Devi, although she was pregnant. Thus, Sita Devi went to the ashram of Valmiki Muni. When the time came, the pregnant mother, Sita Devi, gave birth to two twins. They are celebrated as Lava and Kusha. The ritualistic ceremonies for birth were performed by Valmiki Muni. This is text 12. O Maharaj Parikshit, Lord Lakshmana, who had two sons named Angada and Chitraketu, and Lord Bharat, who had two sons named Taksha and Pushkala. Satrughna had two sons named Subahu and Shrutasena. When Lord Bharat went to conquer in all directions, he had to kill many millions of Gandharvas, who are generally pretenders. Taking all their wealth, he offered it to Lord Ramachandra. Satrughna also killed a Rakshasa named Lavana, who was the son of Madhu Rakshasa. Thus, he established in the forest known as Madhuvan the town called Mathura. This is how Mathura was established. Okay, this is verse 15. Mano nikshepya tanayo sita bartru viva sita dyadyanti ramacharanu vivaram parviveshaha. Being forsaken by her husband, Sita Devi entrusted her two sons to the care of Valmiki Muni, then meditated upon his lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. She entered into the earth. Report by Srila Prabhupada. It was impossible for Sita Devi to live in separation from Lord Ramachandra. Therefore, after entrusting her two sons to the care of Valmiki Muni, she entered into the earth. Om Agyanti Midandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrindam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, these are some of the transcendental and very instructive pastimes of Sri Ramachandra, personality of Godhead. And it culminates in the mood of Sita Devi's love for Ram. Mother Sita was put through trials of fire, having to live into the forest. When Ramachandra went to the forest, or was asked to go to the forest, he immediately obeyed his father. And he was about to leave. Sita Devi said, I'm going with you. He said, how will you make it in the forest? It's cold. It's very hot during the day, very cold at night. So many wild animals, it's dangerous from rakshasas. What will you eat? There's only fruits, roots, berries. You'll have to sleep on the cold ground. You're a princess, you're accustomed to the palace, you have all royalty. How will you live? She said something really powerful. She said, Ayodhya without you is like the forest, and the forest with you is like Ayodhya. She couldn't conceive of even the thought of being separated, what to speak of being separated. And that was her love. That was her chastity. That was her faithfulness. And she maintained that. And of course, we all are very much understanding this very deep pastime of Sita's love for Ram, and how she endured so much hardship after so many years of living in the forest. It was about time to go back to Ayodhya. And what happened? Ravana came and kidnapped her. There was only 1 year left. They had performed all these austerities. They were all ready to go back and get the benefits of the kingdom. All the citizens were waiting for Ram for so many years. And now she had to, again, not only be separated, but in a very, what we say, mortifiable condition. She had to be harassed, and what we say, tortured, practically mentally tortured by such rakshasas. And she just continued to pray for the Lord to come and rescue her. And for 10 months, Lord Ramachandra apparently wasn't able to find her. And after all that time, Ravana was harassing her, so much so, that it became, he said, if you do not submit to me within 1 year, and it was 10 months already, he said, I'm going to chop you up and have you for breakfast. He couldn't forcibly impose himself, because he was cursed that if he did, he would immediately die. And Ravana was thinking, you know, I'm not sure if this curse is going to work or not, but I think I better play it safe. He was a little, I guess he was had some intelligence in that regard. So he restrained himself. But while that was happening, he sent his rakshasis, the ladies of the Rakshasa kingdom to harass her, torture her, heckle her, and he was coming regularly. But she never deviated even a moment from her chastity to Ram. It's unbelievable, her chastity. It can't be compared, can't be explained. How dedicated, how loving, and how devoted she was. Praying, just again, to be able to be united with her eternal Lord. And then after all that, and finally when Ram came and killed Ravana, and then they were on their way back to Ayodhya. And Sita was so happy to see Ram. Vibhishan was there, Hanuman was there, and some of the monkey generals and Lakshman. And they were about to again return and have a wonderful celebration. And you know what Ram said? Sita, you're unchaste. I can't take you back. You've broken the vow of chastity, faithfulness. But she didn't. Not at all. But Ram was, we might say Ram was giving a principle of how strict the principle of chastity is. Of course, we can't follow it in these days. Not in Kali Yuga's like. I mean, if people stay together for their whole life, that's wonderful. What to speak about this kind of chastity? Kali Yuga is so, fraught with so many deficiencies that it's, when someone even stays together, sometimes we celebrate the marriage of a devotee for 25 or 30 years. It's like great, you know? Somehow or other, they made it through 30 years and they're still together. But here, we're speaking not only of togetherness, but such mental purity and chastity and devotion. And Ram said, I can't take you back. She said, build a fire, Lakshman. I'm going to enter into the fire. I can't live without my Supreme Lord. And so, a fire was built. And everyone was just like, oh no, Sita's going to give up her life. Ram's mind was determined. He kept his mind. He didn't even budge it. His mind was so fixed on carrying out this principle of chastity. And even though apparently it seemed like he was about to lose her, she was about to enter into fire for no reason, he didn't say anything. Everyone else was lamenting, deeply. And finally, when she entered into the fire, the fire god came out. The fire died down and the fire god was carrying her out. The fire couldn't touch her, not even a slight, because of her purity and her chastity. And everyone was happy. She proved to the world. But actually, Ravana never captured Sita. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, he stopped at the house of one Brahmana who was a devotee of Ram. And he would read the Ramayana every day. And he said to the Lord, I just can't bear the fact that the goddess of fortune herself was touched by this Rakshasa demon. But Lord Chaitanya, he explained, he left a few days and then he came back with some scripture and he said, actually this never happened. She was never touched. Material cannot touch spiritual. What was captured, or what apparently was captured, was the Maya Sita, or Vegavati, actually. She was the Maya Sita. So the real Sita was never left the association of Lord Ramachandra. And so, but they were on their way back. Now, we're coming to the part where this story is unfolding, wherein now Ram is king again. He's king of Ayodhya, and he's touring Ayodhya, and he's incognito. He wants to hear what the citizens say. Because it says that the leader or the king should be beyond suspicion. There shouldn't be any, what we say, even a slight criticism. If there is, then there should be some explanation or at least some adjustment. That was his mode of rule. People talk today about, let's have Ram Raj. But what is real Ram Raj? We can actually understand it. That the citizens loved their leader, and the leader gave kindness, affection, and everything the citizens needed to live happily. Where do we find that today? We don't find it anywhere. In fact, Prabhupada was saying the other day, I was listening, he said, all the leaders are just dacoits and thieves and rogues. They capture the position and they exploit the citizens in different ways. So what do we have today? We have something else. It's more like ravenous society. So, hearing this person, you know, this same person, it's interesting, this person who's criticizing his wife or chastising his wife or taking account of his wife's activity, he later appeared in Krishna Leela as the washerman who found fault with Krishna. Same personality. So I think his mentality didn't change much. Of 2 million years to 5,000 years, it's like nothing. I guess he didn't get good association. But anyway, he was taking a chastising, and the Lord overheard it. And then immediately his mind became concerned. So he banished Sita. He said, he didn't tell her he was going to banish her. He said to Lakshman, Lakshman, take her on a trip. Take her to Valmiki's Muni's ashram. He explained to Lakshman what his intention was, but he didn't tell Sita what he was doing. He said, you just go for a while to Valmiki Muni's ashram. Lakshman was driving the chariot. Sita was sitting in there. She was pregnant at the time. But Lakshman couldn't restrain his emotions because he knew Sita was pure. She hadn't done anything that was considered to be outside the proper conduct of a chaste wife. And his emotions became too strong, and Sita actually detected it, and she said, Lakshman, I'm not coming back. And Lakshman couldn't answer. And then, of course, she was and it says here that while there, she gave birth to two illustrious sons, Kush and Love, and then later, being impossible, that's the word Prabhupada uses in the purport, to being impossible to be separated from her eternal Lord, she left the world. This mood of separation is actually the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, that they say in order for separation to be there, there has to be meeting. Because what is separation without meeting first? So what is our meeting with Krishna? Of course, we were with Krishna in the spiritual world, eternally. We have that relationship. But it's so far removed from our experience and from our consciousness that it seems like we're learning about our relationship with Krishna. So therefore, Prabhupada explains that this mood of separation is taught by the mood of hearing. When we hear about the Lord, we actually develop that mood of separation from the Lord. And then that hearing actually inspires the devotee to serve the Lord in that mood of, again, trying to meet the Lord. By serving the Lord in the mood of trying to meet the Lord, that is the mood of separation. And that's Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Always trying to meet Krishna through our service, praying for the Lord's mercy and compassion that he appears somehow in his name, in his form, in his pastimes, in his devotees, in our devotional service. But sometimes Krishna does. He does. He appears and he comes and he inspires the devotee. The devotee feels so happy feeling the presence of Krishna, and Krishna disappears again. he leaves the devotee in order to inspire again that mood of separation. So that is the mood that is taught by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To serve the Lord in that mood by hearing always about the Lord and developing that eagerness to associate with the Lord through the process of serving the Lord with devotion. So that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. And we practice that. Yugaitam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayitam sunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. That is a very, what we say, that's Radharani's prayer. That's deep. My dear Lord, whatever you do, it's okay. Of course, sometimes we are some, what we say, we have our condition and we go so far, and then Krishna pushes us a little farther, and then he just sees how much he can push us to surrender more and more. And then when we do, Krishna appears, and then again he leaves again, just to entice us, just to inspire us to surrender more and more. So that is that mood of devotion, that the Lord is always pushing us more and more through the spiritual master, through the association of Vaishnavas, through the process of bhakti, to become more and more, what we say, attached to serving the Lord according to the desire of the Lord, the desire of the, coming from the spiritual master. So this mood of separation is very sweet. Radharani, her mood of separation is perfect. She could be with Krishna personally, associating with, or apparently being in the presence of Krishna, and still feel separation. How is that possible? One time, Krishna was and Radharani were together, and there was a bee. And the bee was just buzzing around and buzzing around and disturbing. So Madhu Mangal, he saw, so he chased the bee away, so Radha and Krishna could. And then he said to Radharani, "Madhu's gone, Madhu's gone, Madhu's gone," referring to the bee. And she was thinking, "Madhu's gone, Madhu's gone, where did he go?" Madhu also refers to, you know, the Supreme, to Krishna. So even though Krishna was right there, she was feeling separation when she heard the word, "Madhu's gone, Madhu's gone, Madhu's gone." So what is that quality of devotion? So that is the mood of a devotee. We chant in that mood. We serve in that mood, we pray in that mood, that somehow or other we want to again associate with Krishna. And when he does come, and again he leaves, just to increase the mood of separation. But for a devotee who's not fixed in devotional service, we depend on so many things for our devotional service. But that is neophyte. A devotee doesn't depend on anything. He simply prays for the mercy of the Lord to engage in devotional service, knowing that the Lord will provide whatever he needs for in order to serve. And that is pure devotional service, just to aspire to serve according to the desire of the Lord. How best can I serve you? When Srila Prabhupada was asked how much association, he said, "I didn't have very much association with my Guru Maharaj, but I love to hear him. And I always had, my only question was, how can I serve you? How can I serve you?" And that is the purest of all prayer. How best to serve? And what's to serve with devotion, or to serve in that mood that is pleasing? Ayabilasita sunya, jnana kamaranavitam, anukalena krishna silanam bhakti uttama. That one serves with the desire to please the Lord. And pleasing, by trying to please the Lord, that is good as pleasing the Lord. The intention of the service is actually the mood of the service. Krishna is accepting that. What is our quality to serve? We can only do, Prabhupada used to say that, you know, Krishna has so many servants in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha, and they're doing perfect service with pure devotion. What is our position? We can simply try to do a little something. And if Krishna's pleased, then there's nothing else to aspire for. That's all. Just to somehow to try to please the Lord. So here, Sita Devi, she was always thinking how to please the Lord. And it's not possible for them to be separated. Even the Lord, when Lord Ramachandra heard that Sita had been kidnapped, he was lamenting. He was feeling the separation of Sita Devi. But it's so amazing to see how he treated her. Although he couldn't possibly be separated from her, and she could not possibly be separated, he kept his religious principles, or he followed a certain set of religious principles. Krishna did the same thing. Krishna broke the hearts of his devotees in Vrindavan. He left Vrindavan to go and take care of killing demons and to reestablish in saintly rule. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that too. He broke the heart of all his devotees. He took sannyas. He broke Vishnu Priya. What happened to her? He never saw her again. She was only 14 years old, and he left her. They were just newly married. And the Lord, of course, Mother Sachi, she did get to see Krishna again, and her son again, Lord Chaitanya. She would see him and visit in Puri. And the devotees did too, but apparently at the very beginning, it seemed like they weren't going to see the Lord again. And everyone was in anxiety. Even Dvaitacharya was going to commit suicide. He went with all his devotees down to the bank of the Ganges in Shantipur, and they were all going to give up their life. But then they heard a voice, "Be patient. The Lord will come again. You'll get his association." And so they did. They waited. And of course, the Lord again, very soon after taking sannyas, he appeared into the house of. So in every leela, the Lord somehow or other puts his in a very difficult situation. And then he does that all the time, just to increase our love. That's all. He does that just to increase our love. Just to increase our enthusiasm to serve more, to surrender more, and to inspire us in our devotional service. So for a devotee, there's no obstacles. The only obstacle on the path of devotional service is the obstacles we create within our own consciousness. Whatever the Lord places in front of us are not obstacles, they're opportunities. They're simply opportunities to increase our devotion, to increase our service, and to increase our love. That's all. But the Lord doesn't test anyone beyond their ability to pass. Sometimes devotees would think like that. This test is too difficult for me. It's just too much. What is Krishna doing to me? This is too much. But actually, it appears to be like that sometimes. But actually, he's only arranging such things in such a way as to give us a chance to come a little closer in our devotional service. We should never make a program with Krishna. This is as far as I go. I will not surrender anymore. Krishna, here's my list. Here's what I expect. And you can choose. It's multiple choice. Choose the ones you want to fulfill. But even if you don't fulfill them all, that's all right. I'll surrender to the ones you fulfill. But Krishna, he likes to put his devotees in difficult situations. He does it every time he appears. He's doing it now. And just to increase our devotion, just to increase our surrender more and more. But what is he really doing? He wants us to preach. That's the most important. Because in this age, people are suffering. Danya Mahaprabhu has come So if we take up the mood of preaching more and more, somehow be an instrument as much as we can to spread Krishna consciousness, then that pleases Krishna. Of course, we can preach in different ways, but preaching is the essence. And preaching inspires the devotee in such a way that by preaching means to change the hearts of others towards Krishna. Whether it's your children, your friends, family, people who come to the community, or reach out to people in general. Preaching means to be in a position to somehow or other inspire others to take up Krishna consciousness, or to come closer in their own practice of devotional service. So that is Prabhupada's desire, that somehow or other we become an instrument for his mercy to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. This is a wonderful community. It's the first time I've been here in the last 15 years. It's transformed into something really amazing. I used to be afraid to come to Alachua. And I was thinking, if I go down here, I don't know what I'll say or what I'll do. But now I feel so happy. It was really, really really wonderful to see all the devotees again. Of course, I didn't get a chance to speak to everyone. But I could see the community has become such a vibrant vehicle to bring more and more people into Krishna consciousness. The temple wasn't here when I came. It was still that trailer with Gaur Nitai. So this is the first time I actually got to see the beautiful Radha Shyam Sundar and, I think, to use a small word, amazing Krishna Balaram. They are really, really powerful deities, really so beautiful. And you can see the devotion that the pujaris are putting to take care of the deities. It's really exemplary. So this community is amazing, actually, and it can change the world. Purity is the force. It just takes one. Prabhupada used to say, of course, he would say this, he said, just give me one pure devotee, it can change the whole world. But he said, I'm fortunate, I have many. I have many. So Krishna has come in such a wonderful way to inspire the devotees to become more and more fixed in our devotion and to somehow or other, in whatever way we can, to reach out to others and to inspire them to take up the process of chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Devotional service is very wonderful, and one can feel increasing satisfaction in practicing Krishna consciousness. But to develop compassion, because I know I, for one, are much more concerned with my own spiritual life. But as far as having compassion for the for the whole world,
it's not easy. Yeah.
How do you develop the compassion?
Well, I have to develop it also. But the understanding is we're fortunate. So we've been given that fortune. So the people who don't have it, they're unfortunate. So one who is fortunate wants to give the fortune to people who are unfortunate. We might not be able to have compassion for the whole world, but feeling for the sufferings of others is a quality of a Vaishnava. We can feel that sometimes in our immediate surroundings, people we know, or even a little bit farther. But Krishna, he wants everyone to come. So our compassion can be inspired by trying to please Krishna. We know the Lord has come to spread the holy name, the Yuga Dharma. So what pleases him? He's pleased in many ways, but what pleases him the most, as he says in Gita, is one who explains this message to others, or one who brings others closer to Krishna, to him, in devotion. So our compassion can be inspired by wanting to please the Lord. We may not feel so, when we say, connected to other people in their suffering, but we know that the Lord is feeling that way. So I want to please Krishna by assisting him and helping him relieve some of his suffering by helping others. His suffering is the suffering of love, to see his parts and parcels and illusion and suffering in this material world. So we help him in that sense. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking us that. He's also saying, Madhava Prabhu ki jai. Thank you. Everyone wish Madhava a very successful journey, and thank him very much for coming and gracing us with his presence. Madhava Prabhu ki jai. Hare Krishna. So if we just somehow or other inspire one person in their Krishna conscious, that's so satisfying. Because we're not satisfied with just one, but it's so satisfying. So wanting to relieve the anxiety of the Lord by pleasing him, that helps us to develop that compassion. Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Personally, for Ramayan, sometimes I have trouble. It's a little bit disconcerting sometimes trying to understand Lord Ramachandra's treatment with Sita. But I didn't know that the criticizer was subject to took birth as the washerman.
Yeah, that's in the Garga Samhita.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So can you reveal anything more about that? I mean, why wasn't he... Does it reveal also why he wasn't chastised then? And because it seems a little bit inconsistent that, of course, he chastised Ravana, but then here's someone criticizing after Sita having proven herself to be absolutely pure. How was it that he was, you know, subject to this consciousness, and or why he wasn't chastised then? You know, some, you know, right-wing conservative person could suggest what, you know, the Indians are so, everybody wants Ram Raj, but how is what's the inconsistencies in this leadership? It seems anomalous.
Yeah. Well, he was back established as the king at this time. So now, there shouldn't have been any, what we say, from the principle of righteousness and the principle of saint and perfect rule, there shouldn't be any criticism. But actually, there was no even that person shouldn't have criticized Ram or his wife. Or, I mean, compared his wife's deviation to Ram's, you know, leniency in dealing with Sita. So it was a leela. All I can think of it is actually it's the leela for Sita to disappear, and then very soon after that, Ram also left. I mean, look what Krishna did to his, the Yadu dynasty. He had to get them off the earth, so he created this fratricidal war, just to bring them back to the spiritual world, back to their positions. It seems like that's the reason. Yes, you want to comment on that?
Narrations.
Yeah.
When Lord Jitananda left home, his father was just like Dasarath. They practically left his body because of his separation.
Even the trees were crying.
Yeah, so these pastimes take place to for the deliverance of the living entities in this material world. They when they think about these things, we just completely, our hearts are melted like that. And even Vrindavan Das Thakur says even the yavanas can cry in such mood.
Yes, wonderful. I guess if we don't cry, we're less than a yavana, huh?
Maharaj, if I may,
yeah, please.
I have one little thing here. There's a plan on the part of the Lord to arouse the emotion of the listener. And just as you have Akura coming, mm-hmm. Now Akura, I would say, is not on the same level as this person who criticized Ram, mm. but they're the proximate cause of the Lord's separation. The gopis were very upset, and they were railing against Akura and cursing him, right? And similarly, I don't know if it's in Ram Lila or not, that others were criticizing this, but you were. This is the feeling that Pete's come in. Why? I mean, this seems so unjust.
Yeah.
But Ram is following a stricture of Dharma here, is that the king must be above suspicion. You know, there can't even be a hint that there's something wrong there, because it's going to create a havoc in the society. It's part of the inconceivably precise way in which he showed the example of the perfect king. Mm. And so you can say, well, but who cares about that? Erase this guy and let him, Sita and Ram could be together. But it caused the separation, and therefore it aroused the emotion. It's so unjust, just like the gopis saying, it's so wrong. But this says Krishna went to Mathura, and he didn't return, he didn't return basically until many, many years later, according to Padma Puran. But he just, desiccated, if you will, the whole Vrindavan. Everyone dried up, they became, in separation. It's heart-rending.
Yeah.
But that's precisely what the purpose is, to rend the heart, to awaken the emotion so that we sympathize with Sita. And we also should sympathize with Ram. He didn't want this to happen, but he had to do it for the Dharma.
Mm.
It's even drawing the listener in this way.
His two sons that were born later, they didn't like their father because of that, right? There was some... I don't know. It's what you say, it's to arouse the emotion. But then again, when you practically try to explain it, it's inconceivable. Yeah. Yes, Mahabhagavati. Maryada?
Lord Ram is Maryada Purushottama, and as the king, he was ultimately upholding Dharma.
Hmm.
And he was also, as the king, showing his love for his citizens, that he placed his citizens as his children
above
his own his own pleasure and that, that of his wife. Just like Maharaj Shibi, when he was approached, he was tested by the devatas coming as the eagle and the pigeon. He actually gave the flesh from his body in the weight of the pigeon, and as the pigeon grew more and more, he would take off more flesh from his body.
Yes.
So this is actually the nature of the Kshatriyas. They actually had such a sense of responsibility and love for their citizens that they would actually even sacrifice their own lives.
Good point. That's a real nice point. Yeah, that's another reason. So there's many reasons. But, you start to think, why did he do it? I mean, look what apparently happened to, not apparently, look what happened to Sita. I mean, when Hanuman hears these pastimes, he just cries. He just breaks his heart. And it does. You can actually feel, how is it possible that the Lord's pastimes are inconceivable? But at the same time, he's upholding certain religious principles. Apparently. Yeah, right. That's it. You got it. It doesn't make sense. When you try to balance material sentiments with spiritual sentiments, they don't coagulate so well. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.